EOC. WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When World War II ended in 1945, American soldiers remained in Western Europe as the Allied troops occupied Germany. There were black soldiers among them, and many of those black soldiers had relationships and some fathered children with European women. But they returned to America without those children, some of them even without the knowledge that those children existed. Well, tonight we talk about that and the film that highlighted this little-known slice of black history. My guests are Regina Griffin, director and writer of Brown Babies, The Michelin's Kinder Story, and Doris McMillan, a former TV news anchor and a child of one of those relationships. If you want to be part of this conversation, you can give me a call right now. The lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. That's 855-288-4876. You can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldTFisher, or you can follow me on Twitter at HFisher WHUR. Regina, Doris, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting us, Harold.
Yes, thank you.
Doris, let me start with you. Tell me about the circumstances of your birth. Who were your mother and father?
My biological mother was Josephine Reiser, a German woman, lived in Munich, Germany. My father was a black GI who was stationed overseas, and he happened to end up in Munich, Germany. His name was Ernest Barnett. And the two of them met at an Oktoberfest, which is why I always tell people it must be the beer, which is why I'm here. Because they met at this huge Oktoberfest, and my mother said there was something going on, like an altercation or something, and my father just kind of moved aside, and then he looked at her and asked her, did she need a ride? And she said yes. She didn't know where she was riding, but it sounded like a good idea. And then they ended up having a relationship over a period of time. And then she found out that she was pregnant with me. And that's when life really changed for her.
For many of us, we know who we are. We, mm-hmm. you know, when we're growing up as children, and we know who our parents are, even if the parents are not immediately there, whether it's a father or a mother in the household or what have you. But I would imagine that for you, that was, as a young person, a rather perplexing thing because you were adopted.
You know, the word adoption has come to mean something very special to me, especially since I became a follower of Christ, mm-hmm. because I do understand now about adoption and what it really means. But yeah, I grew up always knowing that I was adopted because at the age of 5, I had to become an American citizen. My parents, the McMillans, had been stationed overseas. They adopted me, came back. And in order for me to get my residency, because I had a green card, I had to spend a year in the States. So we came to Detroit, which is where my aunt and my grandmother lived, and I attended kindergarten there, got my residency, and then we were able to go back overseas because with my dad, Horace McMillan, being in the military, you know, he had to go wherever Uncle Sam took him. Mm-hmm. And so that's how my story began. But I am really excited about being here tonight to be able to tell this story. It's something, I'm a journalist. I've been a journalist all of my career, 40 years. But for some reason, I could never quite tell the story in the form of a video, which is how I communicate. And then I met Regina Griffin. And Regina has now brought this story, Brown Babies, the Michelin's Kinder Story, to light. And that's why it's such an honor to be here, to be able to share the story. So I've given you just a slice, mm-hmm. but I've got to tell you how it all came to be, because if it had been up to me, I might not have done the story. It was just very hard to tell.
And Regina, explain to me, first of all, what is Michelin's Kinder? And how did you become interested in telling this difficult story, because this is not only Black history, obviously, but this is really a significant part of World War II history, American history.
No, absolutely. I mean, I was surprised as a journalist. I'm a producer, an executive producer, and did not know this story. And it is such a significant part of African-American history, U.S. history, world history, and to have so few people know about it. And I think when you are a competitive journalist and you have a great story, you want to share it. And I was just amazed. Wow, I don't know anything about this story. And everyone who I talk to says, what's a brown baby? Who's a brown baby? What does this mean? And, you know, the brightest, wisest minds of journalists and just, you know, people just didn't know the story. And it is so compelling. And you're just like, I can't believe that two powerful nations allowed this to happen to children. Two countries who are enemies but united in hatred and racism in the worst of its kind. And you have the collateral damage of children who are abandoned and left in these German orphanages to just waste away or to die. And I was compelled and drawn and led to tell the story.
Why weren't the mothers keeping these children? And Micheline's Kindler is
mixed children.
Mixed children.
So Micheline is mixed race, and Kinder is children.
Okay.
And they couldn't, even if they wanted their children, they couldn't keep them because of the systemic racism of Germany and the United States. Their parents would throw them out of the house if they had a black child. They couldn't keep a job. They couldn't rent an apartment. They were ostracized in the community. To keep their children safe, they put them in orphanages, or they wanted their children to be adopted to find homes because they were not able to keep them. It crushed them. It killed them that they could not keep their children.
Doris?
When my mother found out she was pregnant with me, she told me after I met her in 1981, she said she tried to get an abortion because she said she knew that life was not going to be easy. And she'd already had one other child out of wedlock, but that child was white. So she went seeking this abortion. She couldn't get it. She ended up having to have me. She said, when she went to the hospital before she went into labor, everybody was so very nice to her. But as soon as little Doris popped out, she said everybody's attitude toward her changed.
Wow.
And then my grandmother, my Oma, had to come and take her from the hospital and bring us all home.
I mean, look, you had Allied soldiers there. So to have a child by an Allied soldier, you were conceived as a traitor anyway.
Mm. I need to take a break, but before we do, how can people see the film, The Brown Babies?
It's on Bounce TV next Monday and on WUSA Channel 9 this Saturday.
This coming Saturday. What time at Channel
7 9? 7 o'clock, both times.
Okay, 7. And for those who are looking for information?
BrownBabiesFilm.com.
BrownBabiesFilm.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll go to the phone lines next. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about The Brown Babies, the product of Black World War II soldiers and their European mothers. My guests are Regina Griffin, director and writer of Brown Babies, the Micheline's Kinder story, and Doris McMillan, former TV news anchor and a child of one of those relationships. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Pam, calling from Washington. You want to speak with Doris. Go right ahead, Pam. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening, actually. I was out at the panel at Bowie when Regina and Doris, both of you, were there that night at Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to commend you, Doris, for telling your story. I also read the book, and it took a lot of courage for you to tell that story. And I just want to commend you for having the courage to tell your story.
Well, bless your heart, Pam. Thank you so much. I have to tell you, writing the book was very
painful, which is probably why I was never able to tell the story on video. And thank you, Lord, that Regina did it. But writing that book was probably that was the first step for healing and to talk about what had happened. Mm. So thank you so much for being a supporter. We had a screening at Bowie State University. Wells Fargo sponsored it, so we were very grateful. It brought everybody out to get a chance to see Brown Baby. So we were very happy. Thank you so much, Pam.
Well, Pam, thank you so much for calling. Doris, you actively searched for your mother and your father. Give me the short version, because who did you find first?
I found my mother. I was anchoring the news for WABC in New York. And my mom, and that's what I make the distinction, my mom, because she raised me, had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And we would talk every Monday morning before she would go for her treatment. And so this particular morning would have been her fourth treatment. And normally I would call her. I was doing the early morning news. And I would call her and we would just chit-chat and I would encourage her. And this particular morning, it was October 5th, 1981, I did not call her. And I was like, I need to call my mom. But I didn't. I get off the air after my first shift and I turn around and I see my then husband standing in the newsroom. And I'm like, what are you doing in the newsroom at 6 o'clock in the morning? And he said, I've come to tell you, I'm so sorry, but your mother has died.
Mm.
And so I was like, wow. I mean, but I knew my life was going to change. Growing up, I knew that my mom had a little Samsonite suitcase somewhere in the house where we lived. And whenever she would leave the house, I would tear through that house looking for that suitcase, because I knew that in that suitcase was my story, my life. There were things about my life I did not know, and she wouldn't tell me. So after she passed, her husband said, I have something you may want. I saw that suitcase, Harold. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, my life is getting ready to change. And sure enough, I opened up the suitcase. There were pictures of me as a baby that I had never seen. Mm. There was a picture of some white hands reaching down into a playpen as if to take me out. I'm like, who is this? I was looking at my life. I found adoption papers in German and in English. And it just, I felt like my life was coming together. And so as a result of that, the Germans are very thorough record keepers. I got my mother's name. I called Hal Walker, who was the ABC correspondent in Bonn. I said, I need your help. Can you help me find my mother?
We're going to continue with that story in just a bit. And we're also going to talk more about the film, The Brown Babies. If you are on the phone, that includes Freddie from Accokeek, Dr. Sykes from Washington, D.C. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. And don't forget, you will be able to hear an excerpt on podcast on WHUR.com on the Daily Drum page. So stay with us. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More on this incredible story on Sirius XM in just a moment.